Welcome to Talking Agility, a podcast from Accenture. Your host is Elitsa Nacheva.
Throughout the Talking Agility series, we have been taking a look at enterprise agility from every angle. And today, we're going to take a deep dive into the world of insurance. We're going to explore how insurers are dealing with change and disruptions, and what challenges they're facing, and of course, what lessons we can learn. My guest today is Accenture's Jim Bramlett, who is our North American lead for insurance. His expertise includes digital transformation, operating model strategy, and strategic cost reduction. Jim joins us from the Windy City, Chicago. Hi, Jim, and welcome to Talking Agility. It's a pleasure having you today.
Yeah, thanks, Ellie, and a pleasure to be here. Thanks for letting me participate in this.
I'd like to start our conversation by talking about where insurance is on the Agile journey. What are you seeing on the ground? Are there any particular challenges?
Yeah, thanks, Ellie. So I think most of our insurance clients are on some level of an Agile journey, to your question. And what we've seen is really three archetypes play out with our clients around how they've approached this Agile journey. One is around a big bang type of approach, which is like, hey, listen, we're moving from our traditional delivery methodology into Agile, and we're going to do that holistically. A second archetype is, you know, listen, Agile is really around technology delivery, so we're going to focus on transforming our enterprise technology or our IT shop into Agile frameworks. And then the third one is really doing much more of a cross-discipline approach on a program or project basis, adopting Agile techniques and technology really around one program or one project. And each of those come with their pros and cons, and I'll talk about each one a little bit individually. You know, with Big Bang, what we've seen some clients do is listen, they've taken an overarching approach and said, listen, we want to become more Agile through digital technologies. They may adopt safe techniques at a macro level, and they really funnel their entire organization into a new Agile safe type execution methodology. And yeah, there's pros and cons to that. One is, you know, one pro is you kind of rip the Band-Aid off, you do it all at one time, you put the entire enterprise through it all at once. I think some of the cons with that are, you know, not every part of the organization is really ready for that. You know, when it comes to talent, you know, not all of the people within the organization are ready to operate that way. And frankly, there are components of your business and components of your technology ecosystem that don't require Agile in order to operate that way. So while some have done it, I think we've seen several pitfalls of doing it that way. I think with the second approach, we've seen a lot of clients say, listen, we want to deliver more in a more Agile manner. And therefore, they turn around, they look at their enterprise technology or IT shops and say, we're gonna convert our IT organization to an Agile framework. And again, we've seen great success there. We've seen enterprise technology groups migrate to product-based implementation, more cross-discipline teams, delivering more iteratively. So we have seen some delivery throughput and delivery velocity improvements there, which is great. Now, when you do that with just IT, how are we sure that those teams are working on the right things? How are we infusing the right level of strategic thinking from the business? How are we infusing the right level of prioritization from the business into that approach? So while we've seen improvements in frequency of delivery, I think you could argue, are we seeing the right things delivered more frequently? And that's one of the major pitfalls tied to just doing it with IT. And I think where we've seen probably the most success, in my view, is really taking a deliberate cross-discipline view, really at a program level. And then how do we take those program teams and then pivot them into continuous delivery and continuous innovation cycles on top of a platform? So it may be with a Salesforce implementation, it may be with a digital implementation for customers, but mm-hmm. real cross-discipline teams with business and IT, probably some data analytics capability, probably some operations capability, all embedded in these teams, delivering a program or a project through Agile techniques. And then once we go live, then pivoting those delivery teams into continuous innovation teams. So You know, I may be delivering an onboarding experience for customers in the group benefit space, as an example. Well, I may deliver that on top of a core platform, but once we go live, I need to continue to learn from the customer engagement cycle. What are we learning about what resonates with customers? What is the data telling us about where they're falling off throughout the onboarding cycle? And how do I drive continuous improvement into those teams? So we're finding that it may be a more natural leap for teams that delivered a program in an agile fashion to then pivot to continuous improvement in an agile fashion. So we've seen a lot of different shapes and sizes of these agile journeys. Those are three examples and some pluses and minuses associated with each.
Yeah, and thank you very much for sharing those. And it definitely sounds like insurance are experiencing many of the same challenges and are going through a similar journey that we are seeing other clients do in other industries. And so we've been speaking about how the agility challenge is often a cultural challenge. What are your thoughts on culture and the move towards agility?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I think, you know, and as we see clients adopt agile and you know, think about competitive agility differently, you know, there's really kind of two big cultural challenges that meet in the middle a little bit. You know, so if we think about it from top-down challenges and then bottom-up challenges, if we think about top-down, you know, leaders really have to embrace agile techniques as much as their delivery teams do. So what are some examples of that? One example would be they need to embrace just handing over a budget to a delivery team and trusting that delivery team is going to make highest and best use of that budget, right? And if you think about it as a leader, you're used to setting out a strategy, setting out programs that are going to deliver on that strategy and being really clear about timelines, deliverables, and outcomes. Where, you know, with Agile, you may set a strategy, but you've got to trust delivery teams to deliver against that, learning along the way. So it's just there's a very big mindset shift for leaders to move away from command and control to a deliverable or an outcome towards, I'm going to give you guys budget and capacity and timeline. I trust you're going to make the right decisions for our business. And I think that's really, really challenging for a lot of leaders in insurance that come from a very risk averse culture, want to see things in a much more predictable manner. So that's challenging. And I think more from a bottom up standpoint is, do you have the athleticism in your organization today that can go on that journey with you? And what I mean by that is, are they comfortable working in more frequent delivery cycles where, you know, your feet are held to the fire every 2 or 3 weeks to deliver something? A lot of times that's hard for people, whether they're a business analyst or a developer. So I think, you know, from a bottom-up standpoint, you know, those cross-discipline teams require kind of different muscles and different skills from IT for sure, but also from business that are normally operating in terms of just giving requirements and throwing it over the wall. That collaborative structure, working much more hand in hand with developers, being much more data driven, understanding how that's going to show up at the desktop for an operations employee, you know, and a claims associate or an underwriter. Those cross-disciplinary teams are often a bit of a challenge culturally for the ways of working for most traditional insurers and their incumbent workforce.
Yeah, so I really like the way that you summarize it. So the two big cultural challenges are both from top down and then bottom up. And we spoke about leadership and you mentioned that there needs to be trust from leadership to their teams. But what about the workforce? Can we elaborate a little bit more about kind of that, the workforce journey that they have to go on and a bit more about the athleticism that you mentioned?
Sure. Yeah, and I think in order to enable the workforce, leadership has to also recognize some of these differences. So, you know, in insurance, at least incumbent insurers that have been around a while, we're dealing with the workforce that have been in market in their jobs 15, 20, 30 years, right? So, if you're a leader and you're looking at that workforce, there has to be the realization that not everyone is going to come along for this agile journey, which makes that big bang approach that we talked about earlier kind of treacherous, right? I mean, you can't funnel everyone into this model because there's some portions of your workforce that just aren't going to make that turn.
Sure.
And again, I would argue your technology landscape and your customer expectations across the product lines that you have or across the businesses that you serve, they all don't require agile. So what we started to talk to clients about is think about what your customers expect. Think about what how your core platforms support what your customers expect. And we really put kind of this delivery velocity on three planes. One plane, if you put it in animal metaphors, one plane is a rabbit or a cheetah, right? And they have to go super fast, and you have to be on two-week delivery cycles, and you have to be uber responsive to customers, because those might be your digital front ends, right? And your real customer facing capabilities that have to be responsive and uber agile, right? So that would be at the highest end of the plane. At the lowest end of the plane might be an elephant, right? Which is your core policy administration system that houses your products, and how often those products really need to change, right? Mm-hmm. You're probably okay with monthly or bi-monthly or even quarterly release cycles. So the workforce that lines up with those platforms, they don't need to make the agile transformation. Listen, everyone can benefit from being more customer oriented. They can benefit from being more data driven, but do you really have to upset the entire apple cart for that workforce when the reality is the market demands of agility there are probably fine every couple of months or even quarterly. Mm. And then there's a I don't know what the animal metaphor would be for this one, but there's one in the middle that would say, okay, well, it's not 2 weeks and it's not, bi-monthly or quarterly, but there's something that has to happen more frequently. Maybe it's monthly. And this is where we would put things like API development and the integrations between legacy systems and front-end systems. Those have to play to both parties. Both sets of your technology ecosystem, and therefore the workforce there can probably be somewhere in the middle in terms of agility. So you have to look at the demographic of your workforce, the skill set of your workforce, the athleticism of that workforce. Think about who's going to make the change, who's going to make the turn to agile, and just be real deliberate about where people go, because you don't want people that have been around 25 or 30 years to suddenly feel disenchanted. You need that skill set in order to kind of run your business. And it doesn't all have to be in 2 week sprints, really customer focused.
This is Talking Agility. Send us your feedback at Accenture.com/talkingagility, where you can also find previous episodes from season one and content exploring enterprise agility.
My next question is kind of around, focused a little bit about the research that we're starting to see, particularly from the Accenture's Disruptability Index, which measures the various industries and their vulnerability to future disruptions. Can you talk about where you see insurance on that matrix and how competitive agility can be a path towards sustainability for the insurers?
Sure. Insurance, I think, has the I don't know if it's the good position, but we fall pretty high in terms of disruption to date and future susceptibility to disruption. I think in terms of measuring the most disruption today, I think we're fourth or fifth, and I think in terms of susceptibility to disruption, I think we might be number one with our Disruptability Index in our surveys. So if you double click through that. And you double click through what are the drivers of that disruption to date and the susceptibility to disruption. There are a few key factors that drive that, and then we have a few key factors that protect us from disruption. I think the first thing I would say is, this isn't new for insurance. If you look at the Disruptability Index and the measurement of it over the last 6 or 7 years, insurance has always oscillated between volatile or vulnerable to disruption. It just goes back and forth between those quadrants. So what we're starting to talk to our clients about is we're really just in this constant state of disruption. So is it really new, or is it really the new normal for us? And if it is the new, and I would argue it's the new normal, we're in this state of compressive disruption, which is, we constantly see our value chain, whether it's distribution or claims, attacked by insurtech and new and unique solutions. So it drives the need to become more more cost effective and cost efficient. So we see this constant compression around the need to be cost effective. But at the end of the day, those disruptors aren't fundamentally taking on risk. They're not fundamentally underwriting these policies, because we have two major barriers to entry, one of which is state by state or country by country regulation, which is really hard to get into. And the second one is the capital requirements required to be an insurance company. So venture capitalists that are entering into insurtech really don't have the appetite or desire to have all their capital socked away based upon regulatory requirements to be an insurance company. They're happy to invest in technology, but they really don't want to underwrite the risk. So we have these natural barriers to entry. So if you think about compressive disruption that is just sustained over time, and you think about, we do have some of these barriers around insuring products and creating insurance products. You know, what is a natural response for insurance companies? Are insurance companies really going to experience an Amazon event that we're seeing in retail, or are they really going to experience a Netflix event that we've seen in communications and high tech and media? I don't know, and this is a debate that we're actively having with our clients. I don't know that we're going to see that event, but what I can tell you is that most of our clients have to build the competitive agility to be able to respond to those market trends, whether it's on one end of the value chain or on distribution, and they have to build the ability to kind of go direct. Okay, but they still have an insurance product that they're taking direct versus taking through agencies. So what we're starting to talk to our clients about, and we're still testing this in market, is with this compressive disruption, it's really about competitive agility. It's not about worrying that, you know, the world is going to blow up in a year from now because of outside in disruption. We struggle to see that. So it's, how do we help them build competitive agility to respond to parts of the value chain and respond to customer needs better?
Yeah. And of course, insurance isn't alone in trying to figure that out in the market. So from your experience with insurance, what may be the first steps when making the move towards agility and competitive agility?
Yeah, we're really talking to our clients about just where can you place a bet where you know that the requirements of that investment require some of these attributes of agility, cross-disciplinary teams, business and IT at the table together, coupled with data and analytics, coupled with experience and consumer insight people, coupled with operations talent. So if you know that you've got customer and market challenge to go solve, where do you have the highest propensity for that team really coming together and seeing near-term returns on that investment? So you're not going to turn around and do that in the back office in underwriting, right? What you're going to probably do is you're probably going to choose something that's a little bit more customer facing or a little bit more, whether it's in the sales side or whether it's in the customer service side, where you have a lot more frequent customer interaction and a lot more frequent feedback loops. So we would say pick an area where you have a high propensity to make a difference, and pick an area where you have a high propensity of athleticism, both in your business and your IT talent. And just go, right? I mean, there's not a lot of things that you're going to invest in that model that are going to be throwaway. You're going to learn a lot about that part of your business. You're going to learn a lot about what does it take and what's required to kind of work in that model, demonstrate some success, and then scale to other parts of your business where it makes sense.
Mm-hmm. These are some really, really useful practical next steps that our listeners may consider taking into account and really just go, as you say. I guess finally, you've spoken about kind of the fact that the agile leaders need, there are some things that leaders need to take into account. There are some things that people on the ground need to take into account and some behaviors that they need to observe. But what about the mindsets? Would you have any sort of words of wisdom or words of experience around the mindset that is needed for insurers to flourish in that new disruption and in that new changing world powered by agile and agility?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. There's a few mindsets. One is intellectual curiosity, right? I mean, I think that a lot of our insurance executives have been in the insurance industry for so long that they feel like in reality they can run the business based upon on past experience, based upon hunch. They can be successful that way. The question is for how long and how successful can you be?
Yeah.
So is this intellectual curiosity and realizing that if I think about data differently, If I turn my intellectual curiosity outward, right? So instead of looking inward at my current capability, if I look outward and I look at the universe of options available to me, whether it's data sources, whether it's how other industries that we insure are instrumenting themselves, and how can I take advantage of that in terms of product development and risk? If I have the intellectual curiosity around just kind of following the data around what our customers tell us and where there's really value. This mindset around an outward-looking mindset as opposed to an inward-looking mindset, and then with that, a mindset around following the data and being really data-driven, in terms of where you make your investments. To me, those two are the biggest ones. And you know, a lot of companies will say they're data driven, but at the end of the exercise, do they really use it to inform their day over day activity? I think that's actually pretty minimus today for most of our insurance clients.
Yeah. And I probably would say that applies across industries, because just the statistics that I hear about the amount of data that is being collected on a day-to-day basis, and then thinking about to what extent that data is being used informing our decisions going forwards, it's probably very minuscule. But this was very, very helpful. So I'll just summarize the three things that you said around mindsets, just in case our listeners want a bit of a recap. So have that intellectual curiosity, be outward looking, and have that outward looking mindset, and then be data driven when possible. Amazing. Well, with that, thank you, Jim. That was incredibly helpful. Is there anything else that we may have missed or not covered in the six questions beforehand that you would like to just say as final words?
Ellie, I think we covered most of it. I just will say that, you know, this level of disruption that we see coming to insurance provides just tremendous opportunity for our clients. And we think there are very good ways to solve what we're trying to solve for. And we think that the industry's uniquely positioned to solve for that, as long as we can open up and be a little bit more collaborative cross industry. It's a great place to be these days.
Great. That is a really great message and a very optimistic and positive end. So, be collaborative and look for synergies across industries. With that, Jim, thank you so much for your time, sharing your insights, your lessons learned, and what you have observed in the insurance industry. It was a real pleasure speaking to you and learning from you. Thank you.
Thank you, Ellie.
So hopefully today's conversation gave you a bit of an insight into the insurance world and the agile journey the industry is on, with some practical next steps, lessons learned, and Jim's reflections and takeaways from his rich experience. During the conversation, we referenced Accenture's Disruptability Index report, and we're going to share that with you with the link to Jim's blog on accenture.com/talkingagility. You can also find previous interviews with our consulting leadership, as well as case studies with some of the world's leading financial institutions. Subscribe to Talking Agility on your favorite podcast platform so you don't miss an episode. Until next time, I'm your host, Elie Tsinacheva. Thank you for listening.